We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 today. The idea is moving forward. You know, we're coming to the end of the year, and there's always this hope and anticipation of next year. And for us, it's this idea that we want to start fresh this next year, but we have to make sure that we're not dragging all the stuff from 2024 with us, or actually even the stuff from 2020, 2016, like all the stuff from the past. Like if this year is going to be what we think it's going to be for us spiritually, I'm not even talking in the country, like all of those things, right? I'm talking for Jeff Hopkins, for you guys, personal revival, spiritual transformation. If we're going to move forward, grow deeper in the Lord, then we can't be dragging all the other stuff back that's happened with us this year. And, you know, I know for me, like, have you ever been in a season where you just get stuck, where you don't feel like you've made any progress? And sometimes that season can be a couple of weeks. Sometimes that season can be a couple of years. Sometimes that season is decades. But there's no worse feeling than getting stuck, not moving back or not moving forward. You're just stuck. Maybe, I think it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, I was in that similar situation. There was a disagreement amongst some people, and one of the guys didn't think that I had his back in the argument, in the discussion. And it really hurt him because he felt like I didn't have his back. And for me, it tore me up because I knew that I had, whether real or not, I had hurt him. And I knew, like, man, that's going to be tough to overcome. This relationship is going to be tough to mend all the way back together. And honestly, there's still things that I deal with from that disappointment of that situation still today. And I can remember just being stuck spiritually because of a relationship that had broken down, had fallen apart, that I knew was never going to be the same. And I was just stuck in this season of regret, of frustration, of, have you ever been in a situation and it doesn't go the way that you thought, and so you replay it in your head over and over? Have you all ever done that, right? And you're just like, man, if I would have just said this, if I would have done this, if I would have handled this differently, if I would have responded this way. It's just over and over of just being stuck and not feeling like it's, I mean, y'all have been there, right? Like, that's not just me. Yeah, okay, good. Whew, okay. Otherwise, this is going to be a really short sermon, right? I'll just go tell myself this stuff. But like, I knew all the things, but the enemy just kept replaying it in my head. Like, he kept keeping it alive to where it's like, oh, well, what about this and what about that? And I didn't feel like I could ever progress forward in my relationship with the Lord, because every time that I would get further, the Lord would show me something, do that. The pain of regret and of shame and of guilt would just weigh back into me. And then my head, all of the things over and over and over. This verse out of Philippians chapter 3 meant so much to me in the time. It says, this is Paul speaking, writing. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Verse 14, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God, God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. I wanted to move forward, but I was stuck. But then I got into his word, and I was able to take comfort in this, because I think so many times when we look at this, that idea of forgetting, it doesn't mean that we ignore the past, but it means that we don't choose to let it define us or confine us. And that straining toward what is ahead doesn't mean that I have all the answers, but it means that I trust that God has something better for me in that I have to be willing to take the next step. I'm sorry, this is going to be a distraction, so whatever. I tried. I feel like y'all are looking at me weird. All right. That's normal, though. Yeah. You know, we've all been there, though, right? Like, we've all been stuck, and it's like we can't move forward. Or every time we think we're going to move forward, then the enemy reminds us of things. That granddaughter of mine, come on now. For some of us, the past, it's the regrets that weigh us down. Good call there, Noah. You made a decision years ago, or maybe it was a relationship, a career choice, a moment of weakness, and you can't stop replaying that. Sometimes it's not even something bad, but maybe it's what it used to be, how good things used to be. For others, it's hurt. Maybe a loss that you're still mourning of a loved one. Maybe it's someone has hurt you. And you've carried that wound for years and you want to move forward, but it just keeps bringing you back. The truth is that when we live in the past, we miss out on what God is doing now and what he's preparing us for in the future. We spend a lot of our life looking back. And you miss out so much of what the Lord has for you. It's like driving a car that the rearview mirror, it's perfect. Did I say mirror? Sorry, I don't know where that came from. The rearview mirror. It's really helpful, but if you only use that to drive, you're going to crash, right? And sometimes on the roads in Parker County, it seems like that's all people are using, right? Like, are they trying to get into a wreck right now, right? But like, if that's all you do, if that's all you look through, you're going to miss so much in front of you and you're going to end up hitting things. By focusing on what's behind you, you're going to miss so much that's what's in front of you. The main idea today, I try to be realistic and know that y'all aren't going to remember three things and the sub-points of three-point sermon. I try to just keep it simple. Don't let the past pull you back. The prize is bigger than the struggle. All right, so if you forget everything else, other than the testimonies, remember, don't let the past pull you back. The prize is bigger than the struggle. Can I just pray real fast? Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that every word of your word is true. That it's for us to strengthen us, to guide us, to encourage us. Father, thank you that you gave us ears to hear you. And so, Father, may we be good hearers of your word today, but may we be better doers. Father, would you take these words? Would you show us how to apply them to our life so that we can live free from all the past? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Paul wrote these words while he was in prison. Okay, so he was chained up and he's writing this like, hey, not that I've attained it all, not that I've gotten the prize, but I'm going to forget what's in the past. I'm going to strain towards what's ahead so that I can attain the prize. And it matters because no matter if we're in a season of triumph, of victory, whether the Lord has healed our wrist or not, we're called to move forward. If we just stay where we are, that becomes stagnant. And stagnant water is breeding grounds for disease and bacteria. And what happens to us is when we become stuck, when we quit moving forward, the same thing happens spiritually. We just get stuck. We're no longer moving forward, and all we're doing, we're breeding bitterness and unforgiveness, resentment and anger. And we're just letting it stew all up in us. When Paul said, forgetting what is behind, It doesn't mean that we erase the past. Paul often in his letters would talk about his past of persecuting the church. He would talk about his past of how he had a zeal for the Lord. He would talk about his past and his miraculous conversion, which we'll look at in just a minute. So, but the difference here is that Paul doesn't let the past define him. We have to see our past through the lens of God's grace. Forgetting means not being controlled, hindered, or defined by the past. Forgetting is about releasing the power that the past holds over us. I'm going to say that one again. Forgetting, when Paul right here says, forgetting what is behind, he's saying that I'm going to release the power that the past has a hold of on me. Probably should have said it better the first time. I'm going to release the power that the past has on me. Doesn't ignore it. We don't celebrate the past. We don't celebrate all the ways we misbehaved. But we also don't let it define us. It's about trusting God's forgiveness. That he covers our mistakes. That he heals our wounds. And that his purpose redeems our stories. The beauty is that he uses our stories. He uses our past. Whether it's failures or achievements or hurts. But that he uses those. And he redeems us and he redeems our stories. If you think about all the things that you've been through, that you've received freedom from, how many times, and you might have to think about this, but how many times have, once you've gotten on the other side of it, have you ran into people that are going through the same thing and you're like, dude, let me tell you, man. I just went through that, or I went through that 10 years ago, and let me tell you what I found. You see, where God doesn't just redeem us, he redeems our stories, and he uses it for his purposes and for his glory. Forgetting what is behind. I'm not a runner. At one point in life, I liked to run, kind of maybe before I had like an extra sack of corn strapped around my waist, you know, when I was a little lighter. That was a little too loud of a laugh over there. Whatever. A little holiday weight. It's okay. He's going to redeem. It's part of the redemption story of Jeff Hopkins. But when you're running, not even like one glance back causes you to lose your rhythm. It slows you down. You lose focus. Just one glance back is all it takes. Running the 2 mile, I had a buddy of mine that his name was Fred. And Fred just, we had to run track because of football. You know, if you didn't run track, you didn't get to play football. And Fred, I mean, he ran the 2 mile in like 28 minutes. I mean, you could have just about crawled it faster. But And I was decently fast. And so when I would come around Fred, I would be lapping Fred on the 2 mile, like the third lap, okay? And Fred, he did not care at all. He's like, whatever. Instead of me having to worry about who was behind me, I would just tell Fred, hey, the next person behind me, don't let them pass. And he didn't care if he got disqualified. And so I never even had to turn around and look back because Fred would take care of me, all right? There were times Fred did get disqualified because he ran a guy off the track one time. You know, he was trying to pass him. And I mean, it was pretty good to have a guy like Fred. There's this race. When I enjoyed running, I enjoyed reading and watching movies about runners. And so this was from my time when I liked to run. There's a British Games were in Vancouver, 1954. The guy's name is Roger Bannister and John Landy. The first time that two men had run under a 4 minute mile in the same race. So they're booking, all right? They're going, they're fast. And Bannister was behind the whole race. It's called, like if you want to go look it up, there's like books written about it and movies and stuff. It's called The Miracle Mile. The first time two sub 4 minute miles have been ran in the same race. Bannister's behind the entire race. The last 100 meters, it comes up. Landy peeks over his shoulder to the left to see At that exact moment, Bannister passes him on the right. Wins the race. The miracle mile. All it takes is that one. Whoever did that really got me. Thank good. All it takes, and so much is true for us. We can be doing so well. Going forward, going sub 4 minute mile. We're living life. We're doing great. And all it takes is one glance back. And the enemy is right there, waiting. What happens is we can be doing so good, and we can look back at our failures. In an instant, shame and regret can pop up just like that. You look at Paul. Paul is the guy that's writing. He says, hey, forgetting the past. In Acts chapter 9, it tells the story of Paul's conversion from Saul to Paul. It talks about how he persecuted Christians. And then he met the Lord. And a radical transformation happened. He was never the same. He went from murdering Christians, not only like murdering them, but being extremely proud, persecuting Christians because he thought he was doing what needed to be done and he was pleasing to the Lord. He went from being proud of persecuting and murdering Christians to now being a guy that writes so many books in the New Testament, who helped convert the known world to Christianity. Like, if somebody had something to regret, I think it would be Paul, right? Like, I know you guys have probably done some bad things. If you know me, you know that I've done some bad things. But murdering Christians, being proud about it, leading crusades to do it, we haven't done that. Paul could have easily let his past define him. He could have easily got hung up. Like, there's no way that I can proclaim the gospel. There's no way that I can ever be counted worthy because of all the things that I've done. He didn't let that stop him. Regret will keep us anchored to what God has forgiven. Mistakes, sins, or missed opportunities weigh us down with guilt and shame. We have to stop holding on to what he has already erased. This verse, I know Marianne loves this verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Or my verse, it says, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to stop holding on to what God has already erased. Not only can we allow our failures to affect us, we can also allow our achievements to prevent us from moving forward, right? Because Paul, just earlier in Philippians, the verses right before this, he's like, hey, if anyone has reason or grounds for confidence in the flesh, he goes, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding righteousness, that is the law, I was blameless. This was Paul, like, hey, I'm hit. I've attained all of this. But then the very next verse says, but I consider it garbage, rubbish, compared to knowing the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can allow our past failures to keep us from moving forward, but we can also allow our past achievements. We can be so proud of where we are no longer there and like where we are now. And it's like, hey, look at how far I've come. And you know what will happen when you look at how far you've come? You stop. Because you're so happy that you made it right there. When you're running, once again, I don't know a lot of things about this, but when you're running, you want to pick a point that's out in the distance, something that you're never going to get to, so that you keep going. If you set the goal at that tree, man, if I can just make it to that tree, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get to that tree and you're going to stop because you're going to become happy that you made it that far. Our past achievements are the past. The good old days. Oh man, I can't remember when I was here with the Lord and I did that. And if you're always holding on to the things in the past, good or bad, you'll never be able to move forward. That's why coaches, you know, coaches always have lots of good quotes and things, but, you know, after a big game, I'll ask the coach, well, how long are you going to celebrate this? And Nick Saban's always the funnest one to hear quotes from, because him and Belichick, because they're never joking around, they're always serious. He's like, I'm going to give the kids 12 hours. Then after that, we're going to get back to work. And it's so true, because if you celebrate all week long of what you did the previous Saturday, then you're going to end up like the teams that aren't in the college football playoffs. You know? Won't be them Longhorns. If all we do, sorry, I took out all the jokes, babe. So sometimes she gets offended that I'm funny. And so I try to take out all the jokes. If we always are happy about where we are, then we'll never get to where the Lord has called us to. When you set that bar lower, when you get there, you'll always be satisfied. I can remember one time me and Lauren did a whole 30. And man, if you've never done a whole 30, I don't encourage it. No, I do encourage it. It's really good. But man, the whole 30, it is intense. But you know what happens? Day 31, I had a whole cake. You know, because it's like, man, I made it. Y'all think I'm joking, right? Like, I did it. I made it. I made day 30, whole 30. I did it. Day 31, whole cake, man. It was good. Because I lowered the bar. We'll do the same thing in our walk with the Lord. We'll get somewhere. We're like, man, if I can just make it 1 year free from this. And then as soon as you make it 1 year, you're going to begin to let up because you think you've already achieved it. Forgetting what's behind us. Straining for what's in front of us. Last one on this, on forgetting what is behind us. It's also our hurts. Wounds from others can lead to bitterness and unforgiveness, which prevent us from moving forward. Unforgiveness ties you to the pain of the past. When you choose not to forgive, you're tying yourself to that moment in time. And you'll never be able to get any further than that, because you'll always be dragging that along. You're like, man, I cannot wait for 2025. And here you are anchored to a situation, to a person, and you're trying to drag them into 2025 because of something they did 20 years ago. Unforgiveness ties you to the pain of the past. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another, forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against one another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. We must extend the same grace that the Lord has showed us to those that have hurt us. I don't like that there's not a footnote there that gives all the reasons and exclusions to that scripture. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. I wish there were footnotes with examples of if somebody says this, does this, hurts you in this way, then the Lord knows and he understands, but there's not. There's no exceptions. Forgive just as you have been forgiven. The same grace that the Lord extends to you, we have to extend to others. Why? Because if you don't, you'll be tied to that thing and you'll never be able to move forward to what the Lord has called you to. The main idea is that we don't let the past pull us back. The prize is bigger than the struggle. The next phrase right here in Philippians 3, straining toward what is ahead. It means to reach for, to stretch out towards. It's not a casual stroll. It's an image of effort and focus and intentionality. The thing is, though, it says straining toward what is ahead. Philippians 3, it's just right above this, 10 and 11. This is Paul. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. God's purpose for your life is to know him, to be known by him and to make him known to others. Like forgetting the past, straining for what is ahead, your purpose and existence in this life is not your job or your career. Your purpose and your existence is not all of the other ways that the world tries to define you and put you in a box and determine your value and your worth. My purpose, and there's lots of good tips that go along to, but my sole purpose on planet Earth is to know him, to be known by him, and to make him known by others. That is what my life is for. Everything else doesn't matter. I mean, like, it does, but it doesn't. Like, it doesn't have the same value and weight. I should not put forth effort in this, other things, more than I put forth in knowing him, being known by him, and making him known to others. And that's tough. It's tough to go, my life's purpose is this. My life's purpose is not to go and get the best education and find a beautiful wife, which I did, and to get married and have 8 lovely kids, which I did, and to go and provide and teach them and train them and do all that so that they can be productive members of society. Those are all good things. But my sole purpose, what I am running towards, is not that. What I'm running towards is to be known by him, to know him, and that others may come to know him through me. That's it. That's life. All this other stuff doesn't matter. It's when we put those things in front of us that we get tripped up. Straining for what is ahead takes growth and maturity. To deny the flesh, to take up our cross, if we're going to grow, it hurts. That's why it's called growing pains. Because growing and maturing hurts. When you're young, it's like, man, I can't wait to be an adult. And you're like, man, y'all are dumb. No way. I'm going to go back to playing in the dirt and the sand. Like, that was fun. No worries in the world. Like, growing up hurts. Growing in the Lord hurts because it means that we have to deny our flesh. 2 Corinthians, that passage that's up there, it says, therefore, we do not give up even though our outer person is being destroyed. Our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If we're going to strain for what's ahead, that means that God is going to have to stretch us beyond our comfort zone. And that hurts. But there's no other way. Like, I think in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus is talking about, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me daily. That if you want to be my disciple, I remember, I think in, at the very first part of Luke 9, he says, you want to follow me? The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Oh, you want to follow me? He said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, then you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards the goal. You see that we have to stay the course. If 2025, you're going to see that personal revival, 2025, you're going to see the growth and maturity, you got to stay the course. You can't allow challenges or temptations or setbacks. Because once we stop moving forward, then we become stagnant. When we become stagnant, then that's where shame and guilt and death begin to happen in us. We begin to sin again when we quit moving forward. I think so many times one of the things that keeps us from moving forward is ourselves. You know, that we're our own worst critic, that when we fall, When we give in to temptation, when we sin, when we make a bad choice, man, we beat ourselves up so bad. And sometimes we even take pride in it, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm my own worst critic. You know, you hear people say that. That's not a good thing. Do you know who lies to you the most? Don't look at me. Don't be nudging anybody. It's you. You lie to yourself the most, right? You fall down, you sin, you make a bad choice, and then you begin to tell yourself, you're no good. You're the same that you always were. You're never going to change. You're never going to get through with this. You're never going to be free from this. You lie to yourself more, and what does that do? That keeps us from moving forward. Don't let the past pull you back. The prize is bigger than the struggle. The last thing on this is press on toward the goal. To press on means to pursue with intensity, to chase after with determination. Our purpose in life is to know Him, to be known by Him, and to make Him known to others. So that one day I'll get to hear my Savior say these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I got a loud kid over there. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Like, my purpose is to make Him known, to be known by Him, and to make Him known to others, so that one day I get to stand before Him and He and I get to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God's calling isn't just about where we're going, though. It's about who we're becoming. I don't normally take advice from Miley Cyrus, but, you know, she has a song, "The Climb," you know, and it's like, hey, it's not just about getting to the mountain, but it's the climb, right? Whatever. That wasn't in there. That wasn't planned. I don't listen to Miley Cyrus. But it's not just about where we're going. It's about who we're becoming along the way. The prize is to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we're going to do that, we have to live empowered by the Holy Spirit. To be known by Him, to make Him known to others, and to know Him. Like, to become who God's called us to be, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Marianne, you're great. I mean, I look up, but like, on your own, you can't get there, can you? It's not even worth trying. Without the Holy Spirit, like, we're not going to get there. It says, "I say then," and this is Galatians 5:16, "walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh." Amen. Walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. So the opposite is, if we walk according to the Spirit, then we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. But if we don't walk according to the Spirit, then what? Then we will carry out the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He leads us and guides us into all truth and all understanding, into all righteousness. The Holy Spirit is what allows us to live lives that are pleasing to God. It's by partnering with Him that we're able to even reach towards this prize. It's with Him that we're even able to not allow the past to control us. We have to stay focused on the prize. I press on toward the goal, right? Means to pursue with intimacy, with intensity, and to chase after with determination. Paul says this in 2 Timothy. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all of those who have loved His appearing." Revelation 3:21 says, "To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on His throne." If 2025 is going to be that year for you of revival, breakthrough, freedom, transformation, you've got to stay focused on the prize. Don't let distractions or challenges throw you off course. Jesus' words, man, sometimes He just has a way of saying it. In Matthew, He's teaching and He says, hey, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. What? He says, it's better to enter heaven with one arm than to be enter hell, you know, or yeah, it's better to than to enter hell with two arms. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. We can't let challenges or distractions throw us off course. We have to begin to ask ourselves, is this thing more valuable than the ultimate prize of being with God and being transformed by Him? In those moments, we're so short-sighted. We would rather have pleasure now than an eternity with the Father. We're so short-sighted. And if we're going to press on towards the goal, we can't allow the challenges or distractions to throw us off. The main idea is to not let the past pull you back because the prize is bigger than the struggle. So let me ask you, what's holding you back today? What's keeping you from moving forward? Is it something from the past? Is it a hurt, a pain, a wound, a failure? Are you not focused on the prize? Have you been distracted by the shiny objects that the world likes to tell you is important? If someone's wronged you, we got to let it go. We don't ignore the hurt, but we release it into His hands so that we can move forward in freedom. Here's my application for you today, because I'm praying that the Lord has spoke something to you on one of those things. Surrender your past to God. Don't look back. Bring your failures, your achievements, your hurts, and your pain to Him. Your past doesn't define you, nor does it disqualify you. If that's you and you're like, yeah, Jeff, my past, then ask Him to help you see past your past through the eyes of grace and redemption. I don't know what you've done, but you can't hold on to something that He's already erased. When Max, who's our 20, I think he's 20 years old now. When Max was young, he came up with a term. I never heard it before, but I was asking him to help me with something, and both of his hands were full, and he just blurts out, Dad, I can't. I'm full-handed. And I'm like, you're what? He goes, I'm full-handed. I'm like, okay, your hands are full. Got you. But how many times is God like, hey, here you go. And you're like, I can't, God. I'm full-handed. My hands are full with all the things that I've dealt with, all the things I've gone through. And the Lord is trying to go, hey, here's you a new thing. And you're standing there full-handed with past shame, guilt, condemnation, hurts, wounds. And you're like, oh, Lord, I just can't. It's like getting a big old plate on Thanksgiving. And you're just like, man, there's just not enough, there's not room for that one more thing, you know. You got to fix your eyes on Him. Don't lose sight of Him. Spend time in His word and prayer and in fellowship with Him. Let His presence remind you of the hope and the purpose that He has for you. And today, just start by taking one step forward. So many times we get so energized and we're like, man, we're going to go and conquer the world and do this. And you know what happens? Day 31, we eat a whole cake. If you chase two rabbits, you'll never catch one. You're over here trying to live for the world. Some of y'all are going to get that one tomorrow. All right. You're over here trying to live for the world, and you're over here trying to live for the Lord. If you're doing that, you're never going to get either one of them. You're going to be right there in the middle. You remember what He said? That passage that I quoted in Revelation chapter 3, that same chapter, He says, hey, this is what I have against you. Not that you're hot or you're cold, but that you're lukewarm. And for you, I'm going to chew you up, spew you out of my mouth. If you chase two rabbits, you're never going to catch one. You don't have to go and conquer the world today. All you have to do is take one step forward. your movement, if you've stopped and you're stagnant, all it is just one step today. Whether it's forgiving someone or laying something down or simply trusting him with your next decision, just one step. So don't let the past pull you back. The prize is bigger than the struggle. Now, can you close your eyes with me? I just want you to imagine, what would it look like? What if it looked like that you let go of the past, if it no longer controlled you or defined you or had a power over you? How much freer would you be? How much more would you have to offer your family and your God? What would it look like if you fixed your eyes on Jesus? How would your house look different? How much more peace would there be in your marriage, in your relationships? Just imagine if you just set your gaze and your focus on him. Imagine how that annoying coworker wouldn't be annoying, but that you would have a heart for him or her. What would it look like if you moved forward today? If you just took one step. I tell you what, that we would be a community that would reflect the hope and the grace of Jesus. We would be a people that move forward with purpose and faith no matter what lies behind us. I'm just going to pray for us right now. Father, we just commit to you today to move forward. To not let the past pull me back. To not lose sight of the prize of the goal, and to not be complacent. Father, may I never lose sight of you. May I always long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, let us run this race together with perseverance as we fix our eyes on your Son, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.